guys, I'm Jess.
And I'm Heidi.
And welcome to another episode of Betty Squared. Today we are looking at chapter 135, For a Better Tomorrow.
You know what I just realized as you said the intro? This is one of the last episodes of Betty Squared. We're getting into the last final three.
Yeah, you That's only just realized weird. That. Weird.
It's weird. Like, it's one thing to understand that about, like, Riverdale is ending, but, like,
yeah,
so is this. That's weird.
But I take comfort in knowing that, like, this isn't the end of your and my, like, friendship, workship, any kind of, like, there's going to be other stuff that we're going to work on. Because how long have we done this? I got married in 2018, and I think we were already recording.
So at least 2017. So that's 6 years.
Holy shit, Heidi. Have we been doing this 6 years?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty,
Well, if you think about it, like, typically, a season of a TV show is a year.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes they'll double up and, like, say season one will finish and season two starts straight away. So you get, like, a season and a half per year. So, yeah, 6 years. Oh, yeah, because we started when we both lived in New York and I haven't lived in New York for 6 years.
Yeah. And I think, I can't remember. I think we started season two or three.
And yes, that makes sense and then we
with
went back.
With COVID. Yes, and then we went back. And it makes sense with COVID, too. That took a longer break than usual, so... It fits.
Wow. Wow. Oh my god. That has been the longest time, but it has also flown by.
Yeah. Yeah, can you imagine, like, back when we first started being here? I can't.
No, I can't either, because, like, I just remember, because you were my manager where we worked, and I remember coming in one day and being like, oh, I think I'm doing this thing. And you're like, okay, I want to do it with you. And then this is what we're doing. Sorry, I'm like hijacking, but I'm in. And I was like, oh, great. Let's do it. Like, it just started.
But, sounds-
like, but like, you know, there was no like, how long are we doing this for? How are we going to do it? What are we going to call it? Like, we just started recording and worked it out as we went. Holy crap. What a journey that has been.
It has been. And that sounds like I, like, strong-armed you into doing this.
You kind of did. Or
strong-armed my way into it.
But, like, I was happy to do
but
it.
We were friends first before I was your manager. Let's also say that. It was a thing that happened. And we were already talking about Riverdale, like, every day anyway.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. And then I was like, hey, I think I'm going to do this vlog. And you're like, oh my god, let's start a podcast. And I was like, okay. Actually, you were the person that first told me about podcasts. I didn't know what they were until I met you. And I remember I was on an Android phone and it doesn't have like the podcast app like it does on an Apple, or at least it didn't 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is a podcast? I don't even know how to find that. And I literally was like, www. And I had to put in like the URL for the podcast that you recommended. And then I switched over to an Apple phone and I was like, oh, this is so much easier. But wow. Yeah. 6 years. Why? In my brain, I was like, oh, we've been doing this a couple of years.
Nope.
Wow.
A long time.
Is the end of an era. Mm-hmm. Gosh.
Weird. Crazy.
Yeah, just crazy. Indeed. We're going to have to work out what we're going to do after this, Heidi.
I know. I'm thinking about it. I don't know yet.
I got a couple of ideas swirling around in my brain, but we'll see. Because this is also weekly. Like, you and I meet up every week. I can't think of anything else that I'd want to talk about weekly or have the time to put together weekly. But we'll work it out. We'll come up with something, I'm sure.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's get to it. As Heidi said, this is our third last episode, as is it the third last episode for Riverdale. And it was nice to see that The Babylonian is finally showing movies that people can go in and not stag films or burlesque shows or anything that Veronica seems to just put in when she dang well feels like.
Yeah, you know, she's just a woman of many tastes.
She is, but like, is that a way to run a business? I'm not sure.
Oh, should a child in the 50s be running a business? I don't know. I guess it's the time when that would happen, though, so.
I wonder if legally a person of her age could even run a business.
I mean, back then, maybe. I'm not sure now. Like, obviously, well, even now, there's like some youngsters who have their own businesses, but I'm sure it's complicated. The thing that I'm thinking of is like slime shops. I don't know if you ever were invested in, but
I'm just some trying of those to kids. Think of like, I'm just trying to think of like insurance. I don't even think you can take out insurance when you're under 18, and there would be certain liabilities and things like that, which sure, maybe in the 50s they sort of turned a blind eye to, but I mean, we say it every episode, or I say it every episode, but it will never stop me from bringing up just the absurdity of this show. Like, nothing ever makes sense. Nothing's ever logical. But here we are, talking about it still.
Yeah. It's a major factor in Riverdale, as it is the absurdism. So, at first it wasn't, but now it is.
Well, not too long into the episode, literally, I would say, in the first minute, this turns into a black and white feature with kind of multiple storylines, which I thought was a nice little take. I don't know if they necessarily needed it to be like a black and white film, but it was cute. Have they done something like this before? Oh no, I'm thinking of the Halloween episode where they split them into different stories and had different titles for each of the stories.
They've done that. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's... But even then, they did that in this one, but then didn't really follow through with it. They've done that a couple times where it's like, and this is Betty's story, and this is Da-da-da's story, and they didn't... Even though they gave, like, title cards for those moments, they didn't, like, really follow through with it being very separate.
It was just a title, and then it continued.
Yeah. And then it's all one thing. But, yeah, no black and white. It was funny, though, that they did the black and white because our rating system for the last episode was black and white movies.
I know. It's like they knew we were coming.
Or we're psychic. It's one way or the other. I think it's probably us having the power and not them because we're powerful.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. That's the reasoning I'll give.
Well, what were your initial thoughts coming into this episode?
My first note is, Ben and Ethel are so cute.
I just thought they were precious. It was cute. I thought that his name, Benjamin Button, was a little reminiscent of, what was it, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button? Was that the name of the film and the short story? Yeah. I was like, wow, you guys couldn't think of anything else. You had to steal that name. Okay, great. But they were very sweet.
But wasn't he just like Dilton, where he was a character and he died?
Oh.
Right? Or did he not? I don't remember.
I don't know. He died. We've seen him before. I can't remember in what capacity.
Did he fall out the window? I feel like he's one of the ones that died in the gargoyle situation.
I can't remember.
It's not important, but a lot has happened on this show. But regardless, yeah, right. He is cute, and they are cute together. I liked it.
They are, yeah. Just on, not so much Benjamin, but on Ethel, there was some bad acting/bad writing when Jughead and Ethel were talking. So obviously this is the episode where we find out about the milkman and what all that was about and stuff like that. Stuff that we should have found out episodes ago because, like, was anybody even looking for Ethel's parents' murderer anymore? No.
No.
But they only have, you know, one police officer in town who's too busy shooting people that look like they're melted. Anyway, enough on that. But there was this terrible moment where Jughead's like talking to Ethel and says, was your dad ever sick? And Ethel, I wish I had written down exactly what she said, but she was basically like, no, he was never sick. I mean, he drank because he was in chronic pain with his joints and they were swollen and his body hurt and his hair was falling out. But no, he wasn't sick. Like, that was the way it was delivered. And it was, it wasn't helped by the way that it was written. And I'm like, bitch, he just said, was your dad sick? You just said no. And then you listed all of the ways that he was sick. Like, I don't know if that struck you as weird, but I was like, what?
No, it was. I thought it was what I interpreted. I just thought like, oh, this is back before people had like awareness of like chronic pain and that these things are issues. Being like, no, he was never sick was like he was never like deathly ill. Like back then it would be not as big of a deal to have like all these little things.
His hair was falling out. His joints hurt. A man could
be balding.
And he was also suffering from some variation of alcoholism to cope with the pain. I mean,
but alcoholism wouldn't have really been called a disease back then. That's I just thought it was like maybe a like funny haha, like, yeah, no, all these things were happening, but he wasn't sick, like a joke or something. But no, it's a poor moment. It's not great.
She was like straight down the line. No, like, no, he wasn't sick.
Not a joke. Not her telling a joke, but it being like a joke to the audience.
I think it was bad writing,
like ironic and stuff like that. No, I agree. It wasn't very funny anyway. So either it's a bad joke or it's totally just bad writing. So lose.
Oh, my God, ridiculous.
On the just like the melting man situation, especially since it was in black and white already by that part when the melting man came out, I was like, zombies. For like a split second, I was so excited.
Heidi.
And then no, we'll never get zombies. Never.
I don't think we're as close as we got. Zombies. I'm so sorry.
There were zombies in the comics, so I'll take that.
Well, we kind of got the zombie cheerleaders on that Halloween episode. I think that's as close as we're going to get.
Yeah. That's fine.
But also, that was another weird moment. So the melting man comes out. Sheriff Keller immediately shoots him dead. And then Jughead's voiceover is saying something along the lines of, Sheriff Keller assumed he had leprosy. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Why are we shooting him then? It's not his fault he has leprosy. It's not his fault he looks like that. Maybe let's get this guy medical help instead of just shooting him dead because he wasn't trying to hurt anybody. He was just sick.
Well, he was going towards a group of people, and I think I could be wrong.
In a non-threatening way. I think leprosy is extremely... He was stumbling, Heidi. Would that have been jarring? Absolutely. Do we need to shoot him? No.
No. I mean, obviously. Obviously, no. But, yeah, it's Riverdale.
I think if we were ever to have released a merchandise line, I think it would have been twofold. The first one would have said, my first note or my next note is, because that's what we always say. And then the other one would have been like, this show makes no sense. It's Riverdale.
Yeah.
That would have been our merch line. Mug. That would be a great mug.
Yeah, so I was able to get down those title cards that they had for like each of the separate little situations, things that they had. The mystery of the melting man. Then we have Betty's driver's education. I think it might have been Betty Cooper's driver's education. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think it had all of their first and last names.
Except for the mystery of the melting man. I don't think that had Jughead.
It did.
Did it?
It had Jughead.
It did? Yeah. Okay, I missed it.
Jughead Jones, yeah.
Nice. Archie Andrews shipping out, Cheryl Blossom, and the project Moloch. I forgot how to say it.
Yeah, they actually, well, we'll talk about that one when we get to it, but they actually pronounced Moloch a bunch of different ways in this episode. There was no consistency, which was interesting, but I think I can explain that away, but we'll talk about that later if we get to it. But I wanted to take note of those title cards, but they sort of went by so quick that I was like, you know, I had allergies. I'd taken some Benadryl. I was a little sleepy. I was like, they, like we mentioned before, those titles were cute. I liked that it gave it this 1950s black and white feel, but they weren't really separate storylines. They were all connected to one. So it was an interesting choice nonetheless. Yeah. Well, my next note is about the blossoms. I wrote, oh my God, the blossoms are speaking Russian. Like, what the fuck? Why aren't they just speaking English if everyone is already asleep?
True. Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah.
What did you think and about also, that storyline of them doing this Project Moloch and
being the Russian spies
and Russian spies? It was very far-fetched.
Yeah, I mean, it. Yeah, definitely not meant to be realistic at all, I don't think. And it was it's very stereotypical of, like, the 1950s, like, being, like, the Red Scare, the, you know, the Russians, who's, you know, that whole sort of thing. And, of course, why didn't we think of it earlier when, like, we've talked about the Red Scare before? Like, that it would have been the Blossoms who literally only wear red. Like,
I think so we mentioned that. Or at least I remember saying, like, Penelope Blossom comes into the English class and she's like, she was part, you know, of she was a spy for the Russians. And she's literally standing there in red.
Yeah. 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 I guess we did know that part. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, it's just kind of silly and just very stereotypical for, like, a story being told in, like, that age, you know?
And it's the rich, wealthy, you know, entrepreneurs or maple entrepreneurs or whatever it is that they do. Lord have mercy. Yeah.
Interesting, too, that
I was just like Julian, why are you speaking Russian?
Yeah. It's interesting, too, that, like, Julian wasn't included in that situation. I mean, it makes sense that Cheryl wasn't, but, like, they didn't teach their kids Russian.
Yeah. If you're a Russian enthusiast and you have kids, I'm not saying I speak from firsthand experience here, but you would assume that the kids would also be brainwashed into that way of life. So I don't know.
Yeah, if you're proud of your heritage.
Right. I don't know how long the Blossoms were, like, Russian sympathizers, but it mustn't have been their entire lives. It must have been recent, which, you know, their Russian was pretty solid.
I cannot judge. I have no idea, but sounded all right to me. Sounded pretty Russian.
It did. Yeah. That strikes me as a very hard language to learn too. So kudos to the actors, but
definitely.
Did you, when they're arrested at the end, did you catch both of their full names?
They were so long. I heard him, but I didn't write it down or note it. So I don't remember what it was now.
So I have them. I went back and I put the subtitles on because, Glenn said them so fast. I couldn't pick the words.
Freaking Glenn again.
Freaking Glenn. You've got Clifford Marion Blossom.
Sure.
And then you've got Penelope Pavlina Novikov Blossom.
Nice.
Novikov. That's how I'd say it. But I was like, okay, go off with these weird Penelope Pavlina Novikov Blossom. I mean, that sounds pretty Russian. I would have thought she was a Russian sympathizer before if I had known that was her name.
Yeah, if we knew, if we had that insight. But of course we didn't. Of course.
Oh, goodness.
I liked, too, how immediately Cheryl was like, yeah, I'll spy on my parents. Like, and as she should. Like, I'm glad we just didn't waste time with that at all. Because
she also has no loyalty to them. She couldn't give a shit about them.
No, absolutely not. I'm curious, kind of going back a little bit, but I'm curious of what you thought, because I, as it happened in the show, I was like, oh, I wonder if there's a connection to this, to Australian, upbringing in Australia and things like that. What did think of the bomb video? Like the video cartoon or whatever that they watch where it's like, get under your desk and, yeah.
Unfortunately, it seemed like a realistic thing that I would expect schools in the States to show their students. Mm-hmm. I cannot recall any instance where we were shown anything like that in Australia. Granted, I didn't grow up in the 1950s, even though I am 100 years old. But even the videos we did watch were very, they weren't really sugar-coated or anything. Like,
well,
and the stuff we watched would not be allowed to be watched these days, put it that way.
I love that.
They just showed us shit, and we were like, whoa, scarred.
Yeah.
Okay, but, she's gone. Yeah, no, when I saw that video, I was like, this is 100% a video they would have shown. Hide under your desk when there's a bomb. Okay, cool, that's going to save you.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't something that, like, they showed us, like, my generation, but it was something we learned about that was done, like, back in the 50s and stuff like that, and back during, like, Vietnam War, like, for nuclear kind of war situations, that sort of thing definitely was done back then. So it is historically accurate of the time.
So. Yes, agreed. And it just shows, you know, whether or not they knew that that stuff was happening, or, mm-hmm. sorry, not happening, whether they were knowledgeable enough to know that will not work or not. I can 100% see those videos being played at school.
Yeah. What wouldn't have happened would have been that the kids would have known that that stuff wouldn't work, like Jughead being like, yeah, no, that's BS. Like, I don't think that would have been something.
They were coming at it from, like, a modern approach again, and that's been the fault of this season of Riverdale several times now, where they wouldn't have the knowledge. They wouldn't stand up in the same way that they're standing up because they wouldn't know any better.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but totally.
Here we are.
All the wealthy people are saying, well, I could go here and I have this and whatnot. And Veronica's like, oh, and I could go underneath the whatever. And like, Jughead, you'd be invited, of course. My Juggykins or whatever she says. And Cheryl... And Cheryl very blatantly, like, scoffs at them and then immediately does the same thing to Tony. Immediately turns around and says, well, I would need someone to help me keep me warm in those caves. And, like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge at Tony. It's just funny.
The hypocrisy.
It's very funny.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, I'm just talking on, like, classroom stuff and everything like that. We have been seeing some beautiful penmanship this season on the blackboards in the English class. Like, the teachers' names are all written out, but they're so perfectly written out that I'm like, who is your sign writer? I want to, like, use them just in my own personal life, let alone on the films that I produce. But in the driver's ed, it said driver's education. It was behind Miss Grundy. And then there was this line that was behind it. But it was just, like, it would have taken somebody more than an hour to write it out the way they wrote it out. And we have seen it a lot this season, specifically in the English room. And I really want that person's contact. I really, like, I'm, it's so
impeccable handwriting.
It is. And the thing is, if the scene is even slightly boring and I'm not interested, all I do is focus on the writing on the blackboard. So, absolutely. Again, now that we're coming towards the end, I'm going to reach out to my friend who worked on the show as an AD, an assistant director, and I'm going to ask these weird, obscure questions. I can't wait.
Yes. Yes, you have to. You must. Makes sense, too, for back then there to just be beautiful handwriting. You don't quite have folks having such beautiful handwriting on the regular anymore.
I mean, are blackboards even still in schools?
No, they would use a whiteboard. I mean, sometimes there's like a blackboard, but you wouldn't use it. You would use the whiteboard.
Yeah, blackboards. I remember writing on blackboards in school, and it was always hard to write nicely.
I don't think I've ever, like, in a class, I never wrote on a blackboard. Like, there were blackboards in certain situations, but, like, it was never in a classroom. It was always whiteboards.
Yeah, well, it just shows you how old I am.
Yeah, sorry. I think I just missed it.
The last time I remember writing on a blackboard, I was in the 7th grade. Because I remember our math classroom. Writing out an equation on the blackboard. I remember that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, back to the class situation too. Loved their little driving stations in the driving class.
Is that how you guys learn in the States?
No. No.
Okay.
No, it's not. Oh my God.
I figured it wasn't, but I was like, no, oh my God.
No, I would have loved that, though. If Heidi tells
me this is how they learned, I am gonna die.
No, no. It's speaking of, like, awful videos that they would show you and whatnot, that's our driver's ed. So driver's ed, you take a class at, like, I'm assuming they still do this, but I don't know what other avenues would be. What I did was that I went to the local community college. I sat in a big lecture hall with a huge group of people. We learned driver's ed in like 4 different sessions once a week for like 4 weeks. And then you could take your permit test. And in those 4 classes, there would be like, I think it was 4, it might have been more. I don't know. These are just like the classes that you would take. And in those classes, they would show you those awful videos, like, I think Red Mist is one. You might have heard of it before because it's very, like, infamous, where basically you watch, like, all of these different car wrecks. And Red Mist is what happens to, like, a person if they, like, explode or whatever. So it's very awful.
I don't know why I'm laughing.
I think it's called Red Mist or like Red Concrete or something bad and like about car accidents. And then I remember watching another one, I'm sure there were more, that was about like how falling asleep at the wheel is almost just as bad as being drunk. Like
I all this am stuff. Literally sitting here like busting to tell you about how different it is in Australia.
Well, there's more to it. So you would do those classes.
I want
to
hear more. I just can't wait to tell you how different it is.
No, I'm so excited. Yeah, you would do those classes. You would take a permit test to get your driver's permit. And you can get that once you're, at least in California, 15 and a half. And then you spend a certain amount of hours like doing driver's training, like actual behind the wheel where you have a teacher and you like have to go to the teacher and you're in their car. And if you ever see on the street, like driver in training, you know, student driver or whatever, those like bumper stickers, that's what's happening there. And you drive around with those people and they mark off how many hours you do. And then you have to drive with your family and learn to drive. And then you take the driver's license test, driving and in paper when you are 16 at least in California and or any time after that. But from what I remember, that's what it was.
It is totally different in Australia.
I bet it's better, more thorough.
Nope, sure isn't.
Really?
There is no driver's ed class. When you turn 16, you go to our version of the DMV and you purchase a learner's permit book.
Okay.
You read the book, Then you go back to the DMV and you sit for your written test. Once you've got your written test, if you've passed it, you have your learner's permit. Then you have to do, I think it's 120 hours of practice in the car with a licensed adult. That licensed adult can be a professional who helps you work towards your license. That can be a family member. Anybody with a full driver's license can do that. Then when you're 18, you go back to the DMV, you sit another written, which is actually a simulation. So you sit at a computer and you press the screen when you have to brake. Then you go out for your driven or vice versa. You can do one first and then the other. If you pass both of those at 18, you get your probationary license. Then automatically when you turn 21, you obtain your full license. But that is it.
So you don't have to do, if you didn't do any of that and you turn 21, do you automatically get your license? Or do you have to do those steps?
So you have to go through all three. So you have to get your learner's permit. Now, you could get your learner's permit and not drive or practice one single day. You do not have to show any proof that you have driven with a licensed driver, practiced in all conditions, blah, 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 blah. When you're 18 and you go for your driven test and the simulation test, as long as you pass both of those, you have your probationary license. Now, probationary license means you can drive without a licensed driver. You have to display certain plates so people know that you're a probationary driver. You can't have any alcohol in your system because the drinking age in Australia is 18. And then when you're 21, it automatically gives you your full license. You don't have to go and sit another exam. But again, all you have to do is pass a written to get your learners and then pass a driven and a written to get your permit or your probationary license. But like I mentioned, no classes. You're not forced to practice. You don't have to show any evidence. They recommend 120 hours, but that's on you.
Yeah, I mean, and that's too, if you're like 16 or whatever, getting your license. I know that there's less that you have to do if you're like 18 and older, but I don't know what those details are. So for the most part, pretty similar.
Drive much earlier than we can.
Yeah, yeah. Until I was 30, I'm 31 now. Until I was 30, I had my same driver's license picture from when I was 15 and a half.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I could have taken a new one, but I didn't. But I was 15 and a half.
You have to update your picture. I think it's every 2 to 5 years. I was driving on my Australian license when I first moved to the States, and then my license expired. And the DMV in Australia was like, well, you need to come in for a new photo. And I'm like, a little bit hard when I live in an international country. So that was like a whole kerfuffle of me trying to get a new photo to them because I had to have like an attorney say, yes, this is her. She's not lying. It was insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The process is so, so weird anyway. But I'm glad there's certain regulations.
I switched over my license from my international license to an American license in Florida. And all I had to do was drive around a parking lot and pull in between some cones. And I was like, I literally could kill somebody. And this is all, it was literally so easy. I didn't even have to like
do anything.
Drive near any other car. Nothing.
How funny. Oi, America.
She giveth and she taketh.
That's absolutely true. On just like a little thing around that same like area of the episode, getting back to it. I just thought it was so funny that when Archie like walks up on Kevin and
Clay?
I couldn't figure it out. That they were just tying knots. Just two boys tying some knots. Don't worry about us.
Just sitting there tying knots.
And some knots.
The way he described how to tie the knots, I was like, huh?
Yeah, that made no sense to me. No sense. I'm not a knot tier. I don't know. But
yeah. I had a note on that. that whole thing with the merchant marines. I wrote down, yes, the poets all served. So let's sign up for a potentially life-threatening experience so it helps us with our poetry. Yeah, good work, Archie.
Yeah, that was a very on par Archie choice.
It really was. And then he was like so excited because he was like rowing and he's like, oh yeah, there's lots of rowing with the Merchant Marine, so I'm getting practice in now. Dude, you literally were told about this 2 seconds ago, and the only reason you want to go do it is because the Beat Poets did it. You're a fucking wanker.
Yeah, it's very, he's very much a poser. This poet, Archie, is very, bit of a poser, our poor guy.
He is. I don't even believe he's actually passionate about this.
No, we haven't really been, I'm not very convinced at all.
No, and I think that this is going to be the thing that he is now. Because we've only got 3 episodes left. He's not suddenly going to work his shit out. No,
he can't. Oh, God. Okay.
It's all right. This is still the best version of Archie we've had through all the seasons. Well,
and to speak to that, too, we get the freaking great line from Archie where he says to Frank, you'd know that if you ever cracked open a book. Fucking get him! Get him, Archie! Yes, I loved that.
It's funny you say that, because my next note is about Uncle Frank, and I literally wrote, Uncle Frank is driving me nuts. I've never wanted to punch someone in the face so badly before. He is so full of just bad advice.
I don't even understand why. Like, why does he want Archie to not be a poet so badly? Why? Like, there's no reason. Even by the end of this episode, we get no reason for it. So it's just like,
he's just a dick.
Just a douchebag. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, there's no motivation whatsoever for any of his actions this season, no. Which
it's a bummer.
Kind of sucks. We could have had a nice little arc with him.
Yeah.
But no, he is just purely there to be a negative influence on Archie's life. And when Mary does finally kick him out, she said something that was not fitting of the 1950s, and I'm sure you know what I'm about to say, where she's like, you know, he goes, well, who's going to be the man of the house? And she's like, well, I'm the woman of the house, and I don't even think I need a man, you know, whatever. I was like, lady, it's 1950s. You would not think that you are strong enough to run the house. You would be like, I need a man.
I don't think she can have a bank account. Like, I know she's a business owner.
Oh, really?
I don't know if she could have a bank account yet. By herself.
In 1950? Ooh, I'm going to look it up
right now.
Okay. All right. But yeah. And then, you know, even when Mary says, oh, you know, Archie can come and help me in the dress shop. And Frank's like, ugh. I'm like, hey, dude, dickhead. Relax.
The job that she has,
money is
that
money.
Keeping this house that you're living in up, which she even points out, like, get out of here, dickwad.
Yeah, exactly. But again, just a real lack of depth with his character this semester of Frank's character. But I'm glad he's gone. I'm not sure if we'll see him again, but he's at least out of the house in the interim. And like, I love the fact that she brought him in to kind of help streamline Archie, which he literally
made
did
it
not
worse.
Do any of that.
Made it worse.
He made it so much worse. So much worse.
I have the information, and this is what I thought. I was like, I'm pretty sure women got to have their own bank accounts in the 70s, and I was unfortunately correct. It wasn't until 1974 when the Equal Credit Opportunity Act passed, and the women in the U.S., and this is U.S., so I don't know about Australia, the women in the U.S. were granted the right to open a bank account on their own. Technically, women won the right to open a bank account in the 1960s, but many banks still refused to let women do so without a signature from their husbands.
Holy crap! I had no idea that was a thing. However, I do want to add that was probably something that the army helped her out with because they would have originally opened the bank account with his name. Now, she's widowed, so there would probably have been some
there were different allowances for widows and things like that too. So that is a good point as well. But still. Yeah.
I did not know that about bank accounts. That's incredible. Yeah. Wow. Crazy. I probably should go back to 1950 and not have a bank account because I get paid tomorrow and I'm like counting down the hours until I can spend the money. I am. It's crazy because my mom is an accountant, but she like never taught me how to save, and I just spend everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our listeners wouldn't know, but I've started a new job and I am actually on a national tour. So I am being paid very well. I have no rent right now. So I am like ready to spend.
I'm like doing a little dance on camera with her. I'm like that too. It's, yeah, money's tough. It's tough.
It sure is, yeah. It sure is. And it has been for me for quite a number of years because it's the life of a struggling artist. Yeah. But I've now officially made my transition over into producing for this national tour. So the money's a little bit more consistent, which, yeah. But also, it's your first paycheck. You have to go out and celebrate.
You have to treat yourself. Know? Treat yourself, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Back on the milkman whole thing, when Cheryl discovers about the Project Moloch or whatever, she finds Clifford's like little secret milkman uniform storage place.
Yeah.
What did you think of the way the uniforms were staged?
It's silly. It's very performative.
I don't.
Why is it breezy in that room?
Let me confirm this with you because I still am like, wait, what? Okay, so they were mining palladium. The palladium was making people sick. So when the people got sick or discovered secrets about this palladium, Clifford hired people who dressed like milkmen to go kill them.
I don't know if it was people or just that one guy, but yes.
Why does he need that many uniforms?
Why does he need any? Why does he need to be a milkman? How does that even make sense?
And why does he have to display? There was like what six is he, or real seven milk? Uniforms and they're all got like the little floating hat.
So stupid.
What the fuck? And then they're all got their little bow tie around it. And I'm like, what the fuck? Oh my god, this was this was typical ridiculous Riverdale.
It very much harkens back to our favorite storyline to think about, which is Chad Michael Murray on a rocket to the moon. It very much harkens back to that episode and those situations.
Duke Kaboom!
Oh my god.
Man, he was so pretty. I really wish he stuck around longer.
Chad Michael Murray himself is still alive.
He was so nice to... I know, but he was so pretty to look at. I was like, get it. And then he was in that little spaceship outfit. And I was like, no, he was in like an Elvis outfit. And I was like, no, I'm done.
Yeah.
He still looked hot in it, though.
Yeah.
Remember when Alice was undercover for the police? And Veronica was like, oh, yeah, that tracks. No, it fucking doesn't.
And same with Betty had a similar reaction to Veronica in this episode with her mom, which was very much one of that I was annoyed with. But to kind of like wrap up feelings about the Jughead, Cheryl, milkman storyline.
That immediately actually made me feel sick when you said milk.
I really don't like milk either, so it's not my favorite thing.
Oh, I love it. But like just in that context, I was like, I don't think I can drink milk anymore.
Milk is gross. I don't like it. But to go back to that storyline and then just kind of finish up my thoughts on it. I really liked seeing Cheryl and Jughead work together. I think that's a combo we didn't get to see too often was them working together. Funny. They have a funny, like, connection, chemistry together. And not, like, romantic, but just, like, platonic chemistry. I thought it was super funny, Cheryl's dream that she has.
Jughead, it's coming.
And everyone freaking out is just very, very funny. I thought that was really good. And I thought, too, just talking about, and we'll when we talk about Ethel a bit more, we can talk about this a little bit more. But I just like, in terms of like Jughead, I like that he has like a little separate group of buddies. Like, he's got Dilton and Ben and Ethel, and they have like a cute little group of friends together that are like his little friends, you know? I just like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I did too. Although every time Dilton pops up,
Big Dick Dilton.
Can't
stop thinking about it.
Anyway.
Yep.
Well, let's switch gears and let's sort of talk about the discoveries that Betty makes this episode, because we've been wanting closure for a while as to why Alice is acting the way she is.
As always.
And we get that this episode. Yeah, as always. We get that this episode, which I am grateful that it's come to an end and we know why. Mm-hmm. Do I think it was justified? Absolutely not.
No.
So Alice has been giving Betty a really hard time about being curious about sex, boys, her life choices. It even got to the point where, you know, she slapped her across the face. And we find out that this is because Hal had an affair with Ethel's mom, and as a result, Ethel was born. So Ethel is Betty's half-sister in this world. So instead of dealing with the actual issue, Alice takes out her frustrations about her husband on the youngest daughter, Betty. Yeah,
and Polly, too.
And Polly, too, yeah. But obviously Betty more, because Betty is still there. Yeah. Polly, you know, flew the coop. But,
yeah. Didn't make any sense. Like, Betty,
no.
That moment that I was talking about, like Veronica being like, that makes sense, is the part where Betty's like, so that's why you did this and this, 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 and this. It's because you didn't want me to...
The same thing to happen to me.
Which
you have no control
over.
Which
part even? You didn't want me to be like you, where you got betrayed by your husband who had a secret affair, or you didn't want me to be like Ethel's mom who has a child with someone she had an affair. Like, no, it doesn't connect. It doesn't make any sense. No. Betty's sexuality and her and like Alice's issues don't make sense.
Are two different
things. Completely
different.
Yeah.
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
And it doesn't
Like I said, glad it's over. Glad Betty, quote unquote, has the closure she needs. But it was such a middle finger to the fans.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't justified. It was... Alice has no control over Betty's life. Mm-hmm. By monitoring who or when she has sex, the way she behaves, that's not going to mean that in the future Betty's going to marry a man who's unfaithful and has a kid with somebody else, and then Betty's going to be miserable. That's got nothing to fucking do with her.
You know what would have made more sense is if they stuck to the original Alice storyline, but we saw it play out in a different way, where Alice had a child when she was a teenager with someone she had an affair with who wasn't Mr. Cooper.
Yeah.
And that was what, and that reveal was what connected her to Betty and that situation. That would have actually made sense.
Because then, of course, she's going to monitor her child's sex life because she doesn't want her to fall pregnant and go through the same thing. Abso-fucking-lutely, that would have made sense. But instead, we got this very weird,
so weird,
very roundabout, nonsensical malarkey.
Malarkey. Yes.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
But at least it's over.
Also, another amazing, amazing choice that Alice made was after she says, like, Hal, give it up. Go for a walk. I'm going to talk to my daughter. She hands Betty a glass of like whiskey or
like hard
bourbon
alcohol
on the rocks.
Let's
like
really
a hard
drink.
Liquor that she's just literally given her teenage daughter because she's teaching her teenage daughter that when you get bad news, you need to have alcohol to soothe the problem.
You must cope.
What the fuck?
So wild. So wild.
I have nothing else to say on this episode. My notes are all done. But this was...
it's a rough one.
This was an episode, like... You know, I have been doing some traveling for work, so we are a couple of weeks behind. And when I had to go back and rewatch this episode, you asked me, Heidi actually sent me a text and went, hang on, what episode are we up to? Because it had been a couple of weeks since we had recorded because I was traveling. And I went back and I looked and I gave you the title and I was like, wait, I don't even know what this episode was. Like, it just immediately left my head.
As it should.
After I watched it the first time. Like, I was like, okay, great, we got closure about the milkman. Great, we got closure about Alice. Were either of them justified? No. Let's move on.
That's exactly this episode. It's like, okay. It's the opposite of a filler episode where it's, but it has the feeling of a filler episode.
Absolutely. Yep. I think you've hit the nail on the head. Absolutely. It feels like a filler episode. But it's actually more of like a wrap-up.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not successful. The one last thing I have is just that it's sweet that Ethel gets a happy ending. I don't really remember what happened to her.
Yeah. But she didn't graduate school. She didn't finish high school.
Yeah.
They're that close. I was like, baby, just hang out a couple more weeks.
But it seems like with whatever's going to happen, it's good that she got out while she can. I imagine things are going to go south, but who knows? Something's going to happen, and yeah, I have no idea. But she gets a happy ending.
You never know with Riverdale.
And I did think it was sweet, her goodbye with Jughead. Like, in this season especially, they had, like, a close, you know, friendship, and it was sweet for them to, we'll always have Pep Comics. Like, maybe, but...
maybe, but again, still very sweet. And then you got Veronica dropping her fucking names. Oh, I spoke to Philip Roth and he's going to give you a job as a storyboard designer. Oh, you're going to stay at the El Royale, which I was like, okay, I love that they've called the place that she's staying the El Royale as a throwback to to Archie's gym. But I was like, stop fucking name dropping, bitch. Just be a normal teenager for once in your whole seven seasons.
Never. Never, not once. She wears a cape in her first episode. What do you think?
Remember the cape? Lord. Yep, sure do.
Well, that's all I've got.
That's all I got too. So wow, I don't even know how to rate this episode using what
different types of filler
or theme. Filler, like what you put in a pie or a turkey or
could
something
be anything
that?
Like lip filler, filler in a pie.
Okay, I got one. Okay, so this is like, there's a beignet, right? Little puff pastry deliciousness. And you go to bite in it, and instead of like beautiful, luscious, warm, like cream cheese being in there, it's cheese whiz, the cheese in a can. And you just get that awful, jarring feeling. Ugh.
Like where you take a sip of a drink and you think it's going to be like a Sprite or something. And then it's like Dr. Pepper and you're like, what the?
It's soda water. And you're like, or like what I did to a friend of mine in college. We went to get beers. And while he was in the bathroom, I emptied half of a salt container into his beer and mixed it up. And didn't say
anything. Don't leave unattended drinks by Jess.
I had been imbibing, so I thought I was funny. And then he came out, he took a sip, and he didn't say anything, but his whole face was like, it was great.
Really quick on the stupid drinking party things. You know how if you have like a bottle of beer, if you tap on the top of someone else's beer, it'll like foam up?
Oh, I don't drink beer. And I'm not really around beer drinkers, so I've never seen that happen, but I believe it.
I didn't know that because I didn't party in college or even in high school or anything, and I didn't drink beer either. And I accidentally, the one time I went to like a college party was at a friend's college with them, and I accidentally did that. It blew up everywhere.
Oh,
and the person, I was like, oh my God, they're like, what the fuck? why did you do that? I was like, I didn't know. So don't do that, kids. I mean, you know, hopefully not children, but kids. I don't know. Filler, I've suggested it and now I can't. Okay, I have one. Everything I'm thinking of is liked by some people, but for this, it's not liked by me. So I'm going to say, like an egg in the middle of either like, I feel bad saying it, a scotch egg has a hard boiled egg in the middle. I don't like hard boiled eggs. I know some people really like those, so please just put my personal opinion.
Which mutual friend of ours loves those? Haley.
She would.
She loves a scotch egg.
She would love a scotch egg. That makes so much sense for her.
Oh, yeah. No. Ugh. We'd go out to this British bar in New York, and she'd always order it. Oh. And she'd be like, and I was like, ugh.
No. I used to like hard-boiled eggs as a kid, and then I ate way too many, and I got sick. Which might have just been me getting sick, and the thing I ate right before was hard-boiled eggs. Who knows? But it's connected to me, so I can't eat them anymore. Or, like, an egg in a hole, you know, when you make that toast and it's, like, a soft, like, a fried egg in the middle of bread. I can't do it. I'm very specific about my egg eating.
Fair enough. I am, too. I was just about to be, like, I only like them soft-boiled or poached. And I was like, oh, I clearly only like soft eggs, like, where they're still runny. Yeah.
Not me.
Fried, can't do it. Sunny side over, can't do it. Anytime it's kind of like it starts to get crispy because it's been fried, no.
I don't like a runny yolk, so I gotta have scrambled. And even then I can get grossed out pretty
I don't even like
pretty
scrambled.
Quick on a scramble. Yeah. But any other type of egg I don't really like. But I do really love and can make my own, like pasta carbonara, which is a bunch of egg yolks and cheese. And that's freaking delicious.
Yep. Same with me.
So.
Here's some information that no one asked for. That because we're so close to the end of Betty Squared, I thought I'll share. Eggs make me fart, so I try to avoid them.
That's so unnecessary for you to share, but I love that you did. Really love it.
The same with onions as well. Just in case you're wondering about how I digest my food. Those two foods digest really thoroughly.
Pretty
in my
poorly,
body.
To be fair.
Oh, poorly, yeah, because of the gas. Yeah. But they sure as heck make their way through. Great. Now let's segue into what Betty would do this episode.
Our darling Betty, she would advocate for her own independence by taking the driver's ed classes with her friends, get to sit behind a cute little, like, driver console on a desk, which is so fun.
So cute.
She would find out the truth about her family, the big secret, have another sister, exciting, help her sister learn the truth as well, and reconcile with her mother, and send her new half-sister on her way to better and brighter and sunnier days, and Hollywood. And that would be, I think, it.
Yeah. Yeah. That pretty much sums it up.
Only two more.
Oh, what a roller coaster this episode was. Oh my god, two more, Heidi. Like, I'm relieved because I'm like, this show needs to be done. But I'm not relieved.
It's weird.
Because this show has brought you and I together. This show has, like, kept your friendship and my friendship consistent week after week since we parted ways in New York 6 years ago. Yeah. It is kind of the end of an era. I can understand to some extent what, you know, the creative team on Riverdale must have gone through when it all ended, because it's,
regardless of how things changed in quality or how much we love or hate the storylines, like, it exactly as you said, it's still a journey. It's still something that it's also something that I think we can be very proud of to complete. We are very close to having completed this thing, which is crazy,
which is more than probably a lot of people could say about this show.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. All right, friends. Well, on that note, we'll love you and leave you, and we'll catch you next time for another episode of Betty Squared.
Bye.